Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again for our radio audience in Mississippi. Thank you all for tuning in to WYAD 94.1 FM. For those on the East Coast in Atlanta, thank you all for tuning in to Atlanta's 106 Live. And for those joining us around the world, thanks to our friends at blogtalkradio.com. We're glad you all could join us as well. As you all know, a couple weeks ago, I listed our 25 top summer reads for this year. And one of the books is actually written by our next guest, Angela Duckworth, is making her first appearance on our program to talk about her book, Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. We want to talk to Angela not only about her work as a professor, but what it's been like for her to look at real data about what it really means to be able to go from just existing to truly living, and how we can be able to use the power within ourselves to be able to do great things for ourselves and also for others as well. We're going to talk to Angela about what led her to write this book, what it's been like for her to share the information with all of you, and what she hopes you're able to take away from it. Angela, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. You know, one of the great things about this job, Angela, is that not only do I get to fulfill my love of reading, but also be able to talk to the great authors like yourself of these books that I have really been fascinated by. Grit is a really powerful book for so many reasons for me, Angela. And I'll say this. When I was first reading it, I could not help but smile, because I think there's so many people who wonder, what is wrong with me? Why can't I do better? You know, why are things moving for me? You know, I'm in this situation that things should be better, but why aren't there? I mean, what has it been like for you to not only be able to address that question, but also to give some real plausible solutions as to what may be able to help us be able to use passion and perseverance in moving forward?
Well, I've gotten some really positive feedback. You know, not everyone agrees with you, of course, but I have heard a lot from parents and from teachers. I've heard from athletes and coaches. I think one reason why this book might strike a chord is that, you know, who among us isn't interested in making of ourselves, you know, a good life and a life that we're proud of? We all struggle, because I think in the beginning of those journeys, there are so many times where we might doubt whether we could make it to the end. You know, who are we going to be at the end of this journey? And so as a psychologist, I wanted to illuminate that. I wanted to say, look, if you look at the people who have done so much with their lives, what can we say about them? Can we, in a way, emulate the journey that they took so that we can, you know, maybe do a little bit better than we would have otherwise?
Right, exactly. One of the individuals, thanks to social media, that I see quoted quite a bit is actually quoted in your book, Grit, Angela, and that is Will Smith. And there's a great quote in the book, for those who have the print edition, it's on page 46, where Will says about himself, "I've never really viewed myself as particularly talented. Where I excel is ridiculous, sickening work ethic." And it really shows that correlation, Angela, for me, that you talk about throughout the book, of not only knowing that you want to do something, but being willing to go above and beyond to achieve it. Have you found that that has been something that has helped you in your own life, and that really has been a consistent thing for those who have seemed to excel?
I absolutely agree. I mean, I will confess to you that I have a complete crush on Will Smith, in part because he is such a great psychologist. I mean, he really is. He's so perceptive, and he also likes the metaphor of the treadmill, right? The idea that, yeah. And he has said it, I think he's even made a rap called The Treadmill, you know, about how, you know, so much of life is staying on that thing and saying, you know what, you say you're going to run 3 miles, I'm going to run five, and that's going to make the difference in the long run. In my own life, I will say that, you know, sometimes if I produce something that's pretty good, so, you know, I write an article, right, scientific article, and somebody reads it, and they think, like, oh, you're such a natural, they'll tell me, like, oh, it was written very well. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying that because what people don't see are the literally hundreds of drafts that came before that final product, the struggles, the tears. I think that in some ways we have a mythology about what success really is, because at the end it's kind of this beautiful thing, but there were a lot of kind of rougher forms that were only, you know, they were so necessary to get there.
Right, right. And I also love the fact, and I mentioned to you briefly before we went on here, Angela, that one of the things I did in not only reading your book but also watching the beautiful TED Talk that you did, but also recently, actually on release day of this book this year, you sat down at Google and you talked about, you know, this book and I think the important messages of it. One example you gave, though, was of running and how a lot of times people look at running and say, okay, you know, I've been running, you know, all these days, all these weeks or whatever, and things aren't changing for me. I'm not seeing myself getting better. And then those questions. Do you think that's really the big key, questioning ourselves? A lot of times we're not the best at asking ourselves the important questions. But have you found that that has been really the key, to really look at the what are you doing, the why are you doing it, and how you're doing it, to be able to see the answers to what we want for ourselves?
I do. I couldn't have said it better. I think one thing that I have noticed about people who are very successful in every field is that their grit comes from a kind of a self-awareness, like an understanding of what's going well, what could be different, rather than kind of just, you know, blundering forward without reflecting. Now, it might not be the case that you want to be a faster runner. In fact, this weekend I went for a run. I came in. My daughters both run track now, and they asked me, how is your run? And I said, for me, it was fine. I'm not getting any faster because it's not something I'm working on. For them on the track team, I would want them to be, you know, reflective about, you know, how's my stride? How's that Achilles feeling? You know, how can I push my, you know, VO2 max? But I do think that if you do want to improve in something, if you do care about it, you know, the step that is so hard to take is also the most important step, which is to begin with self-awareness and real reflection about what's really going on.
Yeah, I think that is a thing, and I think, you know, that honesty is so important. You know, this book also addresses something else we're going to get into here, Angela, and that is the power of words and what we're saying to ourselves and what others say to us and how that impacts us. For those who are just tuning in, he's on the Radio Dollar Online. You're listening to Conversations Live. I'm super excited to welcome Angela Duckworth to our program today. She's the author of the book Grit. You definitely want to add this to one of your, I think, your reading list. We have it on our summer reading list for this year, but you'll definitely want to be able to read it, to be able to not only see how you can be a better version of yourself, but also to ask yourself the question about what is it that's going to help me in continuing and doing what I want to do. And that, I think, is really key to the subtitle of the book, Angela, The Power of Passion and Perseverance, because I talk about on this program quite a bit, there are people who wonder, well, why aren't I the next Christina Aguilera? And then when they look at it and say, okay, well, when I didn't win that singing competition 10 years ago, I gave up. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Instead of thinking about, you know, how they can, you know, be the best of themselves, you give a great example in the book that I thought was really fascinating. And I have to be honest, I think we all have been guilty of this at one point or another. You talk about the words that can undermine growth mindset and grit, and growth mindset is one of the things that Angela really nails down on the book, but also what promotes growth mindset and grit. How important have you found for yourself and for others, Angela, the power of words, the words we say to ourselves and the words that we say to others?
You know, they are tremendously powerful. By the way, as any athletic coach will tell you, you know, there is this kind of self-talk that goes on. And I bring up coaches because I think they're sometimes the most intentional people about helping, for example, their players have self-talk that is positive, that makes you grow and makes you look forward, as opposed to, you know, making you look backward and, you know, catastrophizing about that, you know, missed shot or that bad game. The idea that we are all talking to ourselves at some level, I mean, obviously not out loud, our lips aren't moving, but we're always having these kind of private conversations. You know, something goes well and, you know, at some level you are saying something to yourself. Something doesn't go well, you're also saying something to yourself. And so the idea that you can then be intentional about that language, because it's going to have an effect on your own psychology, and it's sure as heck going to have an effect on other people. You know, watch your words. There's an old expression, you know, watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, right. They become your, you know. So I do think there are ways to be intentional about our language. And if anybody's ever been through therapy, cognitive therapy in particular, which is really one of the most effective ways to deal with things like depression and anxiety, that therapy is all about changing your self-talk and examining your self-talk. I think when, for example, we talk to people or ourselves and we say, you know, oh, you know, you're such a natural, or I'm a natural, you know, there are ways to change that self-talk to, instead of you're a natural or I'm a natural, you're a learner, I'm a learner. Right. I think those small changes can be very powerful.
Yes, yes. I love that. And what we're talking about for our audience out there who don't have the book, it's on page 182. You definitely want to make a note of that for those who have the print edition. And that example you give, Angela, is the very first one. And, you know, I think, you know, I have used the one, the third one that you list under Undermined, Growth Mindset and Grit, great job, you're so talented. I've used that quite a bit. And the counter to that, to promote growth mindset and grit, would be, great job, what's one thing that could have been even better? What I love about that one and the one that you mentioned about being a learner versus your natural is that it seems to remove the ceiling. Is that kind of what you kind of have found as well, Angela? It removes the idea of, okay, that's it. You don't have to worry about going any further. You know, you're good.
I think that the one, you know, signature mindset among the champions that anybody of us would admire, no matter what field, is that they're never done getting better. Let's take Steph Curry, because he's a, you know, contemporary example, the great basketball player. I think universally people would acknowledge that he is the best, you know, certainly among the best players in the league. But if you look at the polls of, you know, experts in, you know, coaching, and so, he's also rated number one or number two as most improved player this season. In other words, he is not done getting better. He's also said to reporters, you know, I don't think of myself as a superstar because I'm not who I want to be yet. So I think it's a tremendously powerful attitude, and I myself feel that way. You know, I don't feel like I'm done growing. I feel like there's so much I don't know and so much I want to do better than I'm doing today.
Yeah, I think that is an important point, even in the other direction, Angela, because as I mentioned earlier, there are some people who may have had a rocky experience. Maybe they didn't have a good experience, but they had a rocky experience, and they decide to judge themselves by that, or they allow someone else to judge themselves by that. Do you hope that grit kind of helps them to look at that and say, okay, instead of looking at it as a failure, look at it as a learning experience that they can grow from?
You know, recently I had this conversation with a former director at McKinsey. That's actually a management consulting company that I used to work for. It's global. It's very prestigious. And he said there had been an internal report about the consultants in the company who had been the most successful. And the one thing they had in common was this mindset or this attitude that no matter what happened, you know, a good decision, a bad decision, a wonderful engagement, not so great engagement, that the people who are ultimately successful extract the learning from it. I mean, they squeeze it like a lemon. And I think the idea that, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, I think it's okay to say, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. What a poor decision I made. What a poor performance. But then the next sentence should be, what can I learn from that? You know, I think the idea is not to try to lead a perfect life, but to be learning as much as you can from every success and yes, from every failure that you can. That, to me, kind of evens out the highs and the lows, because every day becomes a learning experience.
Yeah, for sure. Susan Cain, who we recently spoke to on this program, Angela, said about your book on the back that grit scrubs away preconceptions about how far our potential can take us. You know, I think that says so much, but it's also such a great compliment. I mean, do you feel as though as you're hearing the conversations from your peers and from others that you really have accomplished or are accomplishing what you want to with grit?
Well, I'm hoping that I'm increasing the amount of attention that we have to the quality and the quantity of our effort on things. You know, I think so many of us were in second grade and, you know, the teacher asked the gifted and talented kids to stand up and go down the hallway because they had gifted and talented enrichment activities. And there's so much talk about talent. Just this weekend, I was talking to a new student, and he comes from an entertainment family. Everybody in the family, you know, sort of singers and Hollywood. And he said there's just so much language about, you know, talent and gifts. It's not that there isn't such a thing. Of course, talent's a real thing. But what about, you know, changing the conversation to be about, you know, if you have a kid who's in second grade and maybe they didn't get a high enough IQ test score to be in the gifted and talented program, what about increasing our attention to things like, wow, this kid is really into soccer or math. Like, let's you know, also reward energy, passion, you know, commitment, showing up every day. In the long run, I really do think that that matters so much more than it seems to matter when we're at the beginning of a journey.
Exactly, for sure. And this is a book, I think, that is great, of course, for all of us. I think, you know, parents will appreciate rural appreciated educators, I think, will as well. But I think also just individuals who are just looking at themselves and thinking about where they want to go. And I love the fact in this book because, you know, as I even when I was reading it and even when watching you discuss it in that Google Talk, Angela, you talk about it's not always about the IQ. It's not always about the obvious things, going to the quote-unquote best schools or, you know, being in the best area. It really is about the person. Do you find that also to be encouraging for those who may have felt like at times that the natural things around them were stacked against them, that it gives them the opportunity to realize it's not so much about those things but how they choose to use what they have and moving forward?
You know, I couldn't agree more. I interviewed a federal judge. Actually, the way I got to know this judge is that he emailed me out of the blue. I was quite happy to learn that he wasn't emailing me because I was in trouble for anything. But he wanted to tell me something about what he had seen in his long career in law and in justice. And he had said that to me that when he was a boy, you know, he remembers that he had to take an IQ test in school. And, you know, they gave him a score. And he thought, oh, gosh, this is like he thought it was his locker number. It was so low. And so, you know, it's not that he got too hung up on it, though, because he basically made a resolution to himself, which is to say that he thought that, you know, he could do something with his life, you know, no matter what his IQ score was. And he then went on to work very hard and become a very successful judge and a beautiful writer. And he would tell you that, you know, the thing that has made him successful is not his IQ, but his, you know, his enthusiasm. I mean, he gets to the office early. He works very hard. He wants to stay late some nights. You know, he's very dedicated. He's never done improving. And I think that in the words of a superintendent of schools who recently talked to me about this, he said, you know, maybe instead of emphasizing IQ, we should emphasize I do. And in life, you know, again, if you want to get really good at something, I think that for so many things that we count ourselves out too early, you know, we could get somewhere if we consistently dedicated ourselves and if we really could find something that we cared enough about to do that.
Yeah, I think that is so important. You know, I think the thing that is also so amazing is how this book is resonating with people that others may not expect it to. One of the things that you discuss in the book in chapter 12 is a very interesting exchange you had with Pete Carroll about the topic of grit. He watched the same TED Talk intro that I did, the 6 minutes there that I should say now has over a million views on it on YouTube. But what has it been like for you to see that, to see how people are not only, of course, listening to what you're saying, Angela, but then thinking about it in relation to what they do? One of the things that Pete says to you that you quote in the book, come and watch us. All we do is help people be great competitors. We teach them how to persevere. We unleash their passion. That's all we do. I mean, what is it like for you to kind of have those exchange with people that maybe, you know, others may not think, you know, would be the most likely to be picking up the book or even listening to conversations like you're having, like we're having today?
Well, you know, like anybody else who loves what she does, I take everything as material. I think Pete's the same way. I mean, that's one of the things I'm taking away is that, like, wow, you know, I get emails from medical residents who tell me, like, how relevant grit is to what they're doing. You know, Pete Carroll is a football coach. But I'm like them. I see everything in my day and in my dreams kind of through the lens of how is this going to help me understand grit better? So it's a kind of interesting thing for me to see other people resonate with this, but in a way it doesn't surprise me because those people, those architects, those physicians, those football coaches, because they love what they do, everything that they see every time they go to the bookstore or to Starbucks to buy a coffee or they're walking down the sidewalk and they're just noticing how people are talking to each other, they're applying it to their own work. So Pete Carroll, everything he sees, I think he's asking, how is that going to help me make my team a better team? He was watching a nature documentary on kangaroos once, you know, relaxing with his family. The way Pete Carroll watched that was, how can I see what these kangaroos are doing and help me punch the ball out of the wide receivers, you know, on the other team's like hands? So I'm kind of very flattered by it, but I'm not surprised because I think if you really love what you do, it's like everything in the world becomes relevant to it.
Right. And you are also are a constant learner yourself, Angela. I'm not just saying that because I'm speaking to you, but one of the things that you discuss in the book, in the chapter, A Culture of Grit, is reading Pete's book, Win Forever. And you have a great quote in there from him about what he said about how he learned to create a vision for himself and to stick with it. And he went on to say you can make amazing things happen in your life. Do you think it's because you seem to be forever curious? So that is why you are able to continue to learn and in turn continue to share with others.
I am never bored of what I do. I mean, I will also say that when you meet me, and I'm now a psychologist who's kind of figured out her vision, you know, to pursue psychological science, to hopefully create some understanding that helps other people live better lives, that's me at age 46. I wasn't sure at all what I wanted to do when I was 26. So it took me some time, as it took Pete, by the way. You know, he came to his clarifying understanding of what he wanted to do in coaching after he was fired from one of his coaching jobs and took a year off to really, you know, get his act together and do a lot of reading and a lot of reflection. But once you do have that vision, as he would put it, or sometimes he calls it your life philosophy, it's tremendously powerful. I think if you spend your adulthood groping towards that vision, that life philosophy, that unifying goal, then once you have a sense of it, you know, really pursuing it, it's a really gratifying way to lead your life. And you will say things like I said, you know, I'll never be bored of this. Or Will Shortz, who, you know, he's the New York Times crossword puzzle editor that I studied for this book, he will tell you he's never bored of his work. It's like every puzzle is new.
Right. You, there is a P word that is not on the cover of your book that you have a chapter devoted to where you give another personal slice of yourself, and I wanted to close with that, Angela, and that is purpose. Again, the title of the book is Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. But you say in the chapter purpose about yourself on page 159, and I thought about this as you were just talking, you said this: for me, teaching wasn't enough. Still unfulfilled was a little girl in me who loved science, who was fascinated by human nature, who, when she was 16 and had a chance to take a summer enrichment class, picked of all the courses in the catalog psychology. Writing this book made me realize that I'm someone who had an inkling about my interest in adolescence, then some clarity about purpose in my 20s, and finally in my 30s, the experience and expertise to say that my top level life organizing goal is and will be until my last breath, use psychological science to help kids thrive. I mean, what a powerful thing to devote yourself to and to be able to do each and every day. And then, of course, knowing that you're making a difference in the process, Angela, really powerful. Again, everyone, Angela Duckworth has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Angela. Again, Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance is the book. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com or, of course, through your favorite online retailer. Also, of course, you can go to your favorite bookstore. If they don't have it, they'll be glad to order it for you for sure. Angela, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up with everything that's going on with you?
Well, I am on Twitter and Facebook, and my website is AngelaDuckworth.com.
All right. Well, Angela, again, congratulations. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us, and I hope you'll come back. We'll love to share with you again.
Thank you. You've made it very easy for me. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.